Morning. Okay. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Gimel. Okay. Smicha. A couple more points about Smicha, and then we will finish the topic of Smicha. We'll have one more Mishnah that gives us a general overview of Smicha, and then that will be the conclusion of the 10th parak Smicha. Okay. We discussed yesterday there's the mitzvah of smicha that's predominantly for karban yachid, for individual karbanos. The Torah mentions smicha a number of times in the first parak of Vayikra, where the Torah discusses over there the voluntary karban olah, and the Gemara here adduces that in general, whenever you bring a karban yachid, an individual karban, even if it's an obligatory individual karban, nevertheless there's a mitzvah to do smicha. That's the general rule. The Mishnah says there are a couple of exceptions to the general rule, notably the Pesach, Bechor, Meiser trio, which is normally linked together. So those three karbanos don't require smicha, and the Gemara has drashas in terms of why they're excluded. In general, the three of them are not things that you're makdish. They're things that, well, the Karban Pesach, you are makdish, but they're things that need to be brought in a certain day, a certain time. All right, I don't have a good common denominator, a good link between the three of them, but the Gemara says that the Mishnah tells us that those are the exceptions to the rule. On the flip side, by Karban Sibor, so the general rule is that we don't do smicha on a karban sibor, right? The way I presented it yesterday in terms of just how we should think about it is that karban sibor is usually viewed as a transference from the person to the animal. So when you have an individual bringing a karban, so you can make a transfer from that individual to the karban. But when you have a sibor, so who's doing the transference? And you could say that maybe the tzibor can appoint a shliach, but it doesn't work that way. So, but in general, karban sibor, so you don't have a tzibor doing smicha. There are two notable exceptions, at least according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Shimon argued, we went through the machlokas yesterday, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that the two notable exceptions are the ones that are actually written in the Torah. Meaning one is the parhelm davish al tzibor, when the community sins, and based on an erroneous ruling of the Zakenim, so it is going to be now the Zakenim. Torah says it. I mean, it's not even a limud. The Zakenim are then going to do smicha on the animal, one after another, all at the same time. I imagine one after another, but the Mishnah and the Gemara is not clear about that. The other notable exception is going to be the Seir HaMishtaleach, the goat that sent off the cliff. There also, the Torah says that even though it's a carbon sibor, it's for the community, nevertheless, Aaron is going to be doing smicha on that animal. That is the two notable exceptions, according to Rav Yehuda, by a carbon sibor, where smicha is done on that animal. Okay. Good. And we also pointed out that on the Karban Sibor side, this involves the Halacha Moshe Mesinai, meaning the Halacha Moshe Mesinai teaches us that there only are two Karban Sibors that require smicha, to the exclusion of all other Karban Sibors. There are no smichas required. All right, that was yesterday's daf. Today we start on the top of Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, and we are now on the topic of Yoresh. So you inherit a Karban. Okay, the story of you inheriting a Karban basically goes like this. It's not a complicated story. The dad was makdish an animal, either voluntary or obligatory. Well, obligatory is not that simple, because if it's a chatas, and then if Rachman l'slan, so if father dies, so then the karban is one of the five chatas amesos. So that's not a good example. So let's say it's a voluntary karban. Dad is makdish a voluntary karban, and Rachman l'slan, dad dies. And so now you are the Yoresh, you inherit all of his properties, and you inherit the karban as well. Okay, so you bring the karban, and the Mishnah teaches us that the Yoresh does smicha. Okay, intuitively, we would think, no. Intuitively, right? If given a choice to posit an opinion, I think most of us would say that doesn't make sense, that the son's going to do smicha, because smicha is basically, right, the transference of the owner of the animal onto the animal. Look, the animal didn't, in other words, the father died, the carbon still needs to be brought as a carbon, but normally what you would say is that the carbon is brought just simply, there's no owner to the carbon. And you have that often, where you can bring a carbon without an owner. Right? Let's go back to the first day of Zvachim. We learned in Zvachim that if you have a kavan of shelo lishma, so the carbon's good, but it just simply is detached from the owner. So there's such a thing as a carbon without an owner. So what you would have argued, or what you could have argued, is that by Yoresh, Yoresh doesn't do smicha. So, but interestingly enough, the Mishnah teaches us, right, the Mishnah that we did yesterday says that the Yoresh does smicha. So we start with the Gemara. The Gemara discusses this very issue. So we have a Braisa that was taught in front of Rava, and the Braisa says what we probably intuitively would have said that the Yoresh, the one who inherits the carbon, he doesn't do smicha, and Yoresh does not do tamura as well. Tamura is an exchange, right, from one carbon to another carbon, where it's a failed exchange, meaning the original carbon is still going to be a carbon because that's the guideline by all carbonists. Carbonists are non-redeemable, and the animal that he tried to transfer is also going to be kaddish as well. Okay, that's the parsha of tamura. Later on, we're going to do the Masechta of Tamura. Good. So this brisa says that when you're a Yoresh, you're considered a full owner. You can do smicha to the animal if you're going to bring the animal yourself. And if you want to affect Tamura, so Tamura will be affected. You could affect Tamura even though you're not the owner of the animal, you're the Yoresh. But according to this brisa, the simple explanation of the brisa is, when you're a Yoresh, you're considered an owner. The Gemara notes the obvious difference between the brisa that we just learned in our Mishnah. So Vahanan Tanan Hayare Shamech Umevi Es Nechasev Umeimer. We learned in a Mishnah that the Braisa says the Yarish is not Samech and the Yarish is not does not affect Tamura. Sorry. So then what are you gonna do about our Mishnah? So Vahanan Tanan Hayare Shamech Umevi Es Nechasev Umeimer. So the Gemara says, so how do you reconcile the Mishnah with the Braisa? That's gonna be a neat trick. So says the Gemara, Amalei Ibchai. So should I flip it around? Meaning, right, we talk about this all the time. Mishnah versus Braisa. Right? So maybe we should take the Braisa and flip it. Flip it here doesn't mean flip it. There's no two opinions in the Braisa. Flip it here just simply means have the Braisa, correct the Braisa, so that the Braisa goes in line with the Mishnah. So Amalei Lo. So the Gemara says that's not necessary. Masisa Mani Rav Yehuda, he did Tanya. But the Gemara says no, because I know more information, and I know that on this issue of a Yoresh and how we view the Yoresh, that's subject to a machlokas between Tanayim. So now I'll just simply tell you that the Mishnah and the Braisa are reflecting two different opinions. Yoresh Shamech Yoresh Meimer, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yoresh Ein Shamech Yoresh Eino Meimer. So the Gemara now brings down machlokas Tanayim, whether how we view the Yoresh. Is he Somech or is he not Somech? Machlokas. So my time into Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, let's start with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that a Yoresh does not do smicha. Why? Karbano. Because every single time that the Torah talks about the mitzvah of smicha, it uses possessive terminology. Karbano, it has to be your karban. So even though you inherit, but something you inherit is not fundamentally yours. Right? You inherited it. So it's karbano, velo karbanoviv. So your carbon, there is a mitzvah to do smicha, but not the carbon of your father. The yalav tchilas hektesh misof hektesh. So the Gemara says, now that's tchilas hektesh. Tchilas hektesh here means that this was originated by the father. So this is right. In other words, the animal was a chulin, all right, a non-sacred animal, and the father was makdish the animal. That's called tchilas hektesh. And masof hektesh yorish eino. That's just the opposite. It's sof hektesh, right? In other words, because you receive the animal once it's kadosh. Masof hektesh yorish ein somech. Atchilas hektesh yorish eino meimer. Right. If you're not going to be able to do smicha, you can't affect tamura as well. That the Gemara calls tchilas hektesh because you're trying to invest new kedusha with this animal, but it's not your animal. Okay, that cheetahs Rav Yehuda. Now the Chachamim, V'Rabbanan, Hamer Yamir, L'Rabba says a Yoresh. So the Chachamim, they go to the Parsha of Tamur. The Parsha of Tamur is found at the end of Parsha's B'chukosai, right after the Tochacha. The Torah then adds just a couple of more mitzvahs regarding Karbanos. One of the mitzvahs that the Torah adds is the mitzvah of Tamura. So Im Hamer Yamir. The double lashon used in the pasuk le rabo says a yarish. It comes to include a yarish. The yalav sof hektesh mitzchilas hektesh matzchilas hektesh yarish meimir av sof hektesh yarish shomech. And what the chachamim do is just the opposite direction. If you can affect tamura, if you have that kind of ownership ability where you can affect tamura, that's called tchilas hektesh. So you have that same ability to do smicha at the end of the process. V'Rabbana, now the Gemara does its bookkeeping as it always does, right? Now we have a drasha for each position, the Chacham and Rav Yehuda. And now the Gemara wants to know what's each position going to do with the other, right? The traditional bookkeeping of the Gemara. V'Rabbana, high karbano, My abdilei carbon of low carbon of kochavim, carbon of low carbon chavero, carbon of the rabbis called bali carbon lesmicha. So according to the chachamim, everything we discussed yesterday, right? In other words, carbono is mentioned multiple times in the Torah. You go through the beginning of Vayikra, and you'll see smicha is mentioned on three occasions. What are we going to do with those three mentions of the word carbono? Carbono meaning your carbon, not your friend's carbon. Your carbon, not the carbon of a non-Jew. Carbon of a non-Jew is brought, but no mitzvah smicha. Your carbon, the rabbi, is called bale carbon smicha. All partners of the carbon need to do smicha. So if you have a private carbon, but it's private, with shares in the carbon, right? Multiple owners in the carbon, but still private, still carbon yachin. So each shareholder is going to have to do smicha on the carbon. That is the three carbonos according to the chachamim. But as far as the yarish is concerned, a yarish is not excluded. A yarish can do smicha.
Based on the carbono, why don't we say that the partners cannot do smicha because carbono is singular, no?
Because, right, and the way we're going to understand it over here in this context is carbono means as long as you have ownership. Right. In other words, it doesn't say, the Torah doesn't say have to be a sole proprietor. But, okay, it is.
How about the woman's carbon?
But they're coming up later today. So, Rabbi Yehuda, the rabbi is called Balei Carbon L'Smicha Leiflei. So the Gemara says, now what about Rabbi Yehuda? Now remember, Rabbi Yehuda needs one of those carbonos because Rabbi Yehuda uses a drasha for the Yarish. Right? And the Yarish is obviously the biggest chiddush because it's not somebody else, it's not an outsider's carbon. It's your father's and your Yarish. And you could make the argument that it's, you know, considered like it's yours. So Rabbi Yehuda has a drasha of carbono to tell you your carbon, not your father's carbon. So the Gemara then wants to know, so once he's taken away one of the carbonos, so he, one of the three drushas that we just quoted has got to be yanked. The Gemara assumes, Ben, just like what you assumed, if any drush is going to get yanked, it's going to be that last drasha. So the Gemara says that maybe we're going to argue that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbis called Balei Carbon L'Smicha Leiflei. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda will make exactly the point you just made, that he doesn't agree with that last point, that maybe in order to do smicha you need to be a sole proprietor over that carbon, and then and only then is there a mitzvah of smicha. But if there is a joint carbon owned by more than one person, two or more people, so then there's no mitzvah of smicha. That could be one way to explain Rabbi Yehuda. Inami, another way to explain Rabbi Yehuda, Islay, Ovikochan the Chaver, Mechai Kornavka. Or what you could say is that the idea of both a non-Jew and your friend's carbon are both going to be derived from one pasuk. Okay? And therefore, we'll see if we can explain that a little bit better in just a moment. Iyasu Le Trey Cry, that now leaves you two drushas available, chad carbon of low carbon aviv, the idah chorab is called bale carbon l'smicha. Okay, and then you have another drusha for the partnership. Okay, chavero and ovi kochavim being derived from the same pasuk. Okay, right, you know the rule, you can't double dip, meaning each word is only for one drusha. So over here, if we're darshaning two things from one word, it means that these two things are basically the same. Right, I'm a little bit of an impasse over here. How is chavero and ovi kochavim really? How is that the same point? How can those two halachas be learned from the same drasha? I don't know. It's. I'm trying to formulate a way to explain it.
It's an inclusive drasha that is like. It's meant to include everything at the same time. So it's not just that you're applying it to two different things, but it was like a...
Yeah, I think the Gemara's point is more that they're so related. It's so, you know, such the same point.
Because it's a shliach, so what does make a difference for the shliach for this one or for that one? Is it only one function.
Right.
That's why you could put them together.
Okay. Okay, all right, fine. Rav Yehuda, hi, hey, Miriam, my Avidle. So now back. Okay, so according to Rav Yehuda, so remember the whole source according to the Chachamim is the double lashon of im hey Miriam mir. So Rav Yehuda, what do you do with that pasuk? Me byle the rabbis and say Isha, a woman can affect Tamura. Ditanya, we learned in a brisa. Lefi shekola inyan kulo enam and dabe elab lashon zachar. The Gemara says, look, if you look at the parsha of Tamura, You'll notice that's all the masculine language. Okay, we'll comment on that in just a moment. Let's just read the simple pshat of the Gemara. The entire parsha of Temura is in masculine language. So how do I know that women are included in the inyan? Right, I can't call it a mitzvah because it's not a mitzvah. I guess we could call it an Issa because it is an Issa. How do I know to include women in the whole parsha, in the whole inyan of Temura? So that's what you do with the double language of im hamir yamir to tell me that it includes women as well. Now the chachamim say, yes, I agree with you fundamentally with that point that the whole parsha of Temura. By the way, we say parsha of Temura. It's like two pesukim, one pasuk. It's not an entire parsha. But the whole inyan of Temura is Belashan Zachar. The Chachamim say, I agree with you fundamentally, you're right. I use a different word to darshan that women are also included in Temura. So, me vi'im. Rav Yehuda vi'im lo darish. And Rav Yehuda says, yeah, but the word vi'im, that's not enough to warrant a drasha. So that's why Hamir Yamir, according to Rav Yehuda, is used to include a... Hamir Yamir is coming to include women. Okay, so basically, Gemara successfully went over each Tana, what each Tana does with the other Tana's Pasuk. So we have over here now a basic machlokus between Tanayim, how do we view the Yarish? According to the Chachamim, which is really our Mishnah, according to the Chachamim, so a Yarish can do smicha, right? So the way that the Chachamim view the Yarish is basically an extension of the father. Right, like we say, like Uber Yerach Imahu. So over here, similarly, the Yarish is considered an extension of the father. Right, in Yibum we see this. Right, we see this concept that that he's really the next generation is attached to the previous generation. And okay, Bnei Banim Harin Kavanim. I mean, we have similar concepts in Shas. So here, but in terms of smicha, it is a bigger chiddush because the Torah says specifically karbono. You have to do smicha on your karbon, and the way the chachamim view the yarish is the principal. He's considered the owner of the karbon, and therefore he can do smicha on the animal. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says no, that's not how we view the yarish. The yarish is not the principal, and the yarish cannot do smicha. And so you have a basic machlokas between Tanaim.
Apply to the Yorish, the whole concept of Kalachomer. If the father couldn't do Timur, why would the heir be able to do it?
The father could not?
Yes.
Why could not?
Nobody can do Timur on a Korban.
No. In other words, there's a lav. There's a negative prohibition for everybody.
Right.
Correct.
So if the father couldn't do it, why would the son be allowed to do it?
Right. Because according to the Chachamim, the son is viewed as a principal.
Still, but why would if the first principal couldn't do a Temura, why would the second?
No, but the first principal, Temura is confusing.
Is there anybody allowed to do Temura under any circumstances?
Nobody's allowed to do Temura under any circumstances.
But if you do,
it's effective.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
if
it's
you,
a penalty. I mean, it's a,
yeah. Right, agreed, yeah. And understood. But we're discussing the effectiveness of Temura, right. Not discussing the Issa of Temura. You're right. There's an Issa for everybody.
Shouldn't do it.
But when the Mishnah says that the father that the Yarish can do Temura, it doesn't mean he's allowed to.
Right.
That's not what the Gemara means. It means that if he does it, it's effective. Look, if I go over to your animal, right, and I'm right, we're friends, but. That's where the relationship ends. We're nothing more than that. If I go to your animal and I try to affect more with your animal, A, it's a law, it's a prohibition, but B, it's not effective because I'm not the principal. I'm not the owner of the animal. So I can't affect Temura. What the Chachamim are teaching us is that that's not how we view the Yarish. The Yarish is viewed as a principal. And so therefore, according to the Chachamim, when you're a Yarish an animal, you still can't do Temura. It's an Isser. But if you do, it's effective.
But with a woman, it seems to me that many mitzvahs, well, it's always written in the masculine. No?
Yeah, the Tosfos is bothered by that. Meaning, the Gemara over here says, since it's written in Belashan Zachar, so therefore I would have excluded women.
That's what it says.
Right. And maybe... Right, maybe, again, I'm just thinking out loud now, regarding women in Temura, meaning, is it a lav or is it an asay?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, if it's a lav, so of course, it's both. Right. If it's a lav, so of course women are included. Women are included in all lav and in the Torah. So if we view Tamura fundamentally as a lav, so then I would have included women. But you see that our Gemara doesn't do that. Because our Gemara says, how do I know women are included in Tamura? It's either because of the double lashon of Hamir Amir, or it's because of the word V'im. But what our Gemara is clearly saying, even though there's a debate, but what the common denominator is that we don't default women into being included in the mitzvah of Tamura. That's clear. So if we're now going to re-look at Tamura, is Tamura a lav or is Tamura an asay? It sounds like from the Gemara, Tamura is more of an asay than it is a lav.
Then it would be as a... I mean, because someone done it in the daytime.
Right.
Also, no.
You could be makdish an animal anytime. You could only bring the carbon. You can only bring the carbon during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I think I'm looking at it too simplistically. I don't know if I'm really, treating it properly in terms of.
Isn't it like an essay any type of the love, like I know something?
It's not. And if he does it, Vayahu Smur, so yeah, Kodesh. And it's tomorrow will be Kodesh. There's no.
By Noser, what do you have?
In other words, by Noser, by Ish Tisrofu. The Torah says, and if you leave it, you burn in fire.
Right.
So the Torah, right? And the Gzela is another classic example. And if you steal, so you return the object you stole. Here. There's no reparation.
Right.
There's nothing that repairs the undoes what you done. Right? That's a terrible sentence, but you understand. Right? It's here, it's just simply you bring both because they're both now Kedusha. Okay. Right.
So here Gemara says we have double lashon, meaning they're including women, but we have double lashon in many places that we always never say that.
Right. Correct. Right. It needs a lot more analysis. Okay. Lumdus over here. Definitely lumdus would help. We start with the next Mishnah. Now, who does smicha? So the answer is everyone does smicha, with, of course, the notable exceptions. So number one, the categories of cherishat v'katan. Right? As the Gemara will tell us, the three of them don't have das. They don't have faculty, mental faculty. And so, really, it's funny. It's not a smicha issue, right? This has nothing to do with smicha. This has to do with all mitzvahs. They're exempt from doing all mitzvahs. So they don't do smicha as well. Chus mecherishot v'katan v'suma, a blind person doesn't do smicha. The Gemara will ask later on, well, why not? Right? What's wrong? Right? A blind person, generally speaking, is chayav in mitzvahs. Now, between us friends, that is a subject to a debate in the Gemara whether a blind person is chayav in mitzvahs or not chayav in mitzvahs. But the general position that we adopt and assume is that blind people are chayav in mitzvahs. So we're going to need some sort of explanation later on. Why it is that a blind person is exempt from the mitzvah of smicha. Ove kochavim, a non-Jew, is exempt from the mitzvah of smicha. We already know why. The pasuk says karbono, your carbon, not the carbon of a non-Jew. The eved, an eved kenani. Eved kenani is exempt from doing the mitzvah of smicha. The shliach v'ha'isha, and an agent and a woman. Okay, so really, in other words, what you can correlate is the Eved and the Isha, because we know whatever is true by an Isha is true by an Eved. An Eved is chayiv in all the mitzvahs that a woman are chayiv in. So really, the corollary is between Eved and Isha. It's a little bit strange that the Mishnah separates the two. And the Shliach, that's also much of a Chiddush. Meaning we normally say, and the Gemara is going to spell this out. Right? We normally say, Shluchu Shaladam Kamoso, that when you appoint somebody, he's you, right? Proxy. Right, you do this all the time when you have a proxy vote. So basically, you vote for me, you're me. So in halacha, we have this concept of shlichus. So the Gemara says, and the Mishnah is teaching us that no, in the mitzvah of smicha, it is such a mitzvah shebegufo, it's a mitzvah that you do with your body, you can't appoint somebody else to do. Much like, I'll give an example, simple example, tefillin. Right, I'm tired this morning. I don't want to wake up this morning. I'll tell you what. I'll call in. Do me a favor. You're good at waking up. I'm not so good at waking up. Why don't you put on tefillin for me this morning? So we laugh because we all know it doesn't work. Right? That shlichus to that degree doesn't work. Why not? Because it's a mitzvah shebegufo. Because mitzvahs that you need to do with your own body, you can't appoint a shliach. So here also, I guess. We'll say it this way, the mitzvah of smicha, yeah, it is a mitzvah shebegufo, right? It requires a physical body. to be involved in this mitzvah, so you can't appoint a shliach to do so.
Yeah, but how about if you inherit from a woman? What would be the husband? Would he have this
mitzvah? Well, we're going to talk about husband and wife in the world of smicha. Not exactly what you're asking.
Having, right. I said before, right. There was a machlok, but according to the one who says he does do smicha, the inheritor.
All right. Okay.
What would he say about that other woman also?
I don't know. Well, let's see the Gemara. The Gemara is going to talk about husband and wife. Usmicha shayir mitzvah, and then the Mishnah makes a comment which we've seen already a number of times, and well, later on this morning we'll see it again. Smicha shayir hamitzvah. It's right. Shirayim. Right. Right. You go to the Rebbe. The Rebbe gives you shirayim. Right. So shayir mitzvah. It's the residual of the mitzvah. Okay, so as Ben points out, it says it very well, it's not ma'akev, meaning it's not, this is, if you fail to do smicha, the carbon's still going to be a good carbon. Okay? Al harosh. Now, Mishnah tells us with very clear instruction, smicha is done on the head of the animal. Be'ez yadayim, you do it with two hands. Uvemakom shesomchim shochtin. The place where you do smicha, that's where you do shchita. The take of the smicha shchita, and they're done one right after the other. Immediately after you do smicha, you do shchita. These last two.
Here.
Hmm?
You put smicha here? No.
No. So on the head. Okay, so we'll talk. Yeah. So the mission on these last two halachas seem to be a little bit awkward. Meaning, the Gemara later on will reread these last two statements of the Mishnah. Okay, and we'll have a much better understanding later on of how these last two statements of the Mishnah work. Okay, now the Gemara starts off. Bishlam acherishot v'katan la b'nei dea neinu. So look, by acherishot v'katan, I get that they're not b'nei dea, they're not chayv in any mitzvah, so they're not going to be chayv here as well. Ove kochavim nami b'nei yisrael samchim v'ein ovdi kochavim samchim. And as far as a non-Jew, so when the Torah tells us the mitzvah of smicha, so beginning of Vayikra, the Torah says B'nai Yisrael, not B'nai Yisrael, do smicha. El Summa, my time alone. But what the Gemara says, but what I'm stuck on is Summa. A Jew who's blind, why can't he do smicha? So the Gemara is going to give two explanations. Rav Chisda, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdi, Michal Amar Asya, smicha, smicha miziknei Eida. Oh, interesting. So one source is Ziknei Eida, meaning there's another place in the Torah where the Torah talks about the mitzvah of smicha. We discussed yesterday in the beginning of today's daf, and that's that by the Parhelim Davar Shel Tzibur. Who does the smicha?
Sanhedrin.
Sanhedrin's going to go to the animal and do smicha. So whoever is qualified to be a member of Sanhedrin by an individual is qualified to do smicha. Whoever is not qualified to be a member of Sanhedrin cannot do smicha. Now we know that if you're blind, so there are many things that you can do in this world, but you can't be a member of Sanhedrin. In order to be a judge, you must have vision, you must have sight. So therefore, that is a qualifier for Sanhedrin. It now also becomes a qualifier in terms of the ability to do smicha. Okay.
Why don't they mention that a summa cannot function as a kohen?
That's true. And then we do find that the kohen, that is true. Okay. Right. If you quickly turn the page and just peek ahead at the next at the Amud Beis, so Tosfos, right, Tosfos over here, I knew it was somewhere around. So Tosfos over here says, really, if what you're saying is true, meaning if we're linking the mitzvah of smicha to eligibility to be a member of Sanhedrin, so that should mean if we were just to carry this through, it should include much more than the ability to see. Right, Tosfos writes, Tema. Im keni bai manuki mikol mum. Right, you can't have a physical blemish and be a member of the Sanhedrin. Okay, the rationale behind it, right, whatever, doesn't matter. Meaning that's the halacha. So if that's true, so then in order to do smicha, you have to be manuki mikol mum. You have to be free of any physical blemish. Olamandi alev me olas ri neimat suma be'echa meinav depatale meiria v'shar kol hanu depaturim hasam. And well, Tosha's next point is based on the Gemara, which we haven't seen yet, but We'll get to the Gemara, and I'll express Tosfos' point over here as well. But in other words, it seems to be that even though we're linking, it's a limited link between the mitzvah of doing smicha and eligibility to be a member of the Beis Din. And we seem to be only picking on the aspect of sight and seeing. And
but it's not just physical. I mean, so then you have to be intellectual also.
You have to know 70 languages. It could be this whole thing. Right, in other words, right, correct. And those are excellent points. And I guess what Tosfos is trying to understand is, why are we just focusing on the ability to see? Meaning we're obviously not going to go all the way. Meaning that in order to do smicha, you have to be fit to be a member of Sanhedrin. It can't be. That'll disqualify most of the Jewish people to be, you know, to do smicha. That can't be. That's just an absurd conclusion. Okay, good. So then, but why see? Okay, and that needs an explanation. Okay, back to the Gemara. So that's one reason. So Rav Yitzchak bar Chanan Amar Asya Smicha Smicha Mizikne Eida V'Chanan Amar Asya Smicha Smicha Me'Olas Ri'ya. Oh, and the other one says that no, because we're going to learn Smicha from Olas Ri'ya. Now we just finished the Yontif. Every single Yontif, you have a mitzvah. Two. Number one, make Aliyah L'Regel, go up to Yerushalayim, and visit the Beis HaMikdash and bring karbanos. One of the karbanos that you bring is an ola. It's called the olas re'ia, the karban ola that you bring for having been seen in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we also know, right, one of the first sugyas of Masechta Chagiga, that in order to have the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, so you need to walk and you need to see. Right? Mm-hmm. Right, the olas re'ia is because you were seen in the Beis HaMikdash, you also need to see in order to have this mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So the Gemara is now saying that that's why a Suma who is exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel and the carbon of Olas Ria is also going to be exempt from Smicha as well. Okay. Why are there two different opinions over here? So the Gemara goes over each one. So why don't we learn it out from Zikne Eda? Gemara's answer is Dani Yachim Yachiv and Dani Yachid Mitzibur. So the Gemara says, well, because the Olas Ria is an individual, the being part of Sanhedrin, so that's more of a Tzibur carbon. In fact, as we just learned yesterday, that's one of the two exceptions where carbon Tzibur you do smicha. But I don't want to learn a halacha of a carbon yachid from a carbon Tzibur, so that's why they go to Olas Ria. Yeah, because Olas Ria, the Torah does not explicitly say you have to do smicha by Olas Ria. Olas Ria is an obligatory karban. Where does the Torah talk about the mitzvah of smicha? By voluntary karbanos. And we learn it out through a drasha that there's a mitzvah of smicha and obligatory karbanos. Right? And the Gemara here just quickly goes to the drasha. Did nitan kama de Rav Yitzchak bar Abba? So it's a drasha. So in other words, what you're doing is basically limud, right? You know, that which we've learned you can't do, right? I'm gonna learn a halacha that a suma. We know that a suma is exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. We know, therefore, that a suma is not going to be doing smicha on his olas re'ia. And now we're going to say that a suma can't do smicha on all karbanos, even the voluntary karbanos. All right. So we're going step-step. And in the world of karbanos, we don't like to go step-step. And that's why the other mandamer would like much rather go to the par helim davar. Because the par helim davar is the Torah explicitly states over there the mitzvah of smicha. Okay. And then just quickly go back to Tosfos' point that he made earlier, right? Even if we went the other direction, meaning if we went with the source of Olas Ri'ia, we also know the halachi is by Olas Ri'ia. If you're blind in one eye, you're exempt from the mitzvah of Olas Ri'ia. Meaning, in order to have the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, you have to see out of both eyes. Okay, and fine. So, and the Gemara makes no mention, right? I often wonder. I'm sure someone spoke about it, but then the Gemara, but the Gemara doesn't say anything about one eye versus two eye. Meaning, we normally assume summa means you can't see. But if the source of it comes from olas ria, so then the Gemara should be making a bigger chiddush. Even if you can see out of one eye, you should be patur for the mitzvah of smicha. So again, you see, Tosfos points out, it really, you know, fair distribution of
is legally blind, you think it's considered olas?
Right. Phil was asking. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. But you see that according to both positions, it's not like we are making a 100% ironclad solid drasha. Right? It's we're just picking like aspects of it, but not we're not making a full drasha. Okay, Eved Vashliach Ve'isha, back to the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Yado V'lo Yad Avdo, Yado V'lo Yad Shlucho, Yado V'lo Yad Ishto. It's got to be your hands, not your Eved's hands, not your Shliach's hands, not even your wife's hands. Okay, now, Kol Hani Lama Litzricha. Now, again, what the Gemara is doing over here is that, again, you go through Parshas Vayikra, the first parak in Vayikra, and you'll see the word Yado mentioned three times. So the Gemara now is assuming that each one represents a new point, and the Gemara says, why is there a necessity for all three of these points? Look, I know to exclude the Eved, because your Eved is not a Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah over here means, right? We're not talking about it. We're not talking about age over here, huh? No, Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani. He's not a bar mitzvah, meaning he's not chayiv in mitzvahs. He is chayiv in some mitzvahs, but
like a woman,
right? But he's not a full fledged ben mitzvah. So okay, fine. So I understand why the Eved is excluded from this. Avashliach the bar mitzvah who shloch shaladim kamosa emel esmoch. But when it comes to the shliach, you would have had a very good havamina. Why he should in fact do smicha? So the Gemara says, look, by the Eved Kenani and by the Shliach, so they represent you, but they're not you. Ishto de kugufe dame. But when it comes to your wife, ishto kugufo. We see this concept come up a number of times in the Gemara. Ishto kugufo, the Gemara uses it as a halachic reality that your wife is you. So now I could entertain that maybe a shliach, no, but maybe your wife, yes, because she's you. So ematismach, so therefore I would have had a better havamina that she could do smicha, kamashmalan, that no, she cannot do smicha. Tosis over here is bothered by another very basic question, a lot of simple questions today which I don't have answers for. We just excluded a woman from doing smicha. The Gemara darshins it from Bnei Yisrael v'lo Bnos Yisrael. So Tosa says, I don't understand. Smicha, now we'll say it. Smicha is a mitzvah esei shazman grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. You can only do smicha during the day. You can't do smicha at night.
Because you can... Same thing with tenufa. Women could do tenufa. And it's also time-bound.
Yeah, but... So by the sota she does tenufa. She does tenufa in other karbanos as well. I feel like I should know the answer to that. But anyway, so I'm just sharing with you. Tosos raises a question. If you look in the middle of Yadovalo Yadishto, so Tosos says the Imtamar in the middle of Tosos, right where the asterisk is. Lama likra typically the mitzvah says shazman grama. But I don't know why we need to stick him over here. Well, let's go back to our basic rules of. Women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. In tekev l'smicha shchita d'araisa k'dam rebeper kol apsulim da'afilu samach b'sof ha'layla tekev la'amod ha'shachar sarach lishchot adayin es ha'tamid tchila shalei hedavar kodim la'tamid. We know that if you do smicha and you do smicha prior to the carbon tamid, that smicha didn't work. You first have to bring the carbon tamid and then you do smicha and then you offer the carbon, so smicha can only be done during the daytime. So, Otani prepared based in Megillah, and then he goes to the classic Mishnah of Megillah, Kol Ayom Kashal Esmich L'Shchita, Darsh Begmar Dechziv Bayom Zvachem, V'itkish Smich L'Shchita, Dechziv V'Shachav V'Samach. The Gemara Megillah says that Shchita and Smicha basically go hand in hand. And so therefore it's a time bound mitzvah, so therefore women should be exempt. So why do I need a drasha over here? Okay, so Tosfos says, Tosfos does not answer. It's a, okay, it requires further analysis.
Now we're talking about the general situation here. In other words, it's not only pinpointing Smith, it's the fact that it's olas ri'ah, she brings it.
She's exempt. She's exempt from olas ri'ah. A woman is exempt. Olas ri'ah is only for men. The mitzvah of aliyah l'regel is only for men. Okay. Look, it's you know, Tosfos doesn't resolve the question. I'm also gonna hesitate before. Tana Rabbanan, we back to the Gemara. V'samach v'nirtza v'chis micha mechaperes v'aloin kapara l'bedam. So the Gemara says that the Gemara throws together two psukim, right? V'samach v'nirtza. You'll do smicha, and that'll be a ritsui. Ritsui is the terminology we use when we say you'll get a kapara. So the Gemara says, no, that's not true. The Gemara says that's not how it works. So ain kapara l'bedam she'nemar ki adam hu benefesh yichaper ela lama lecha shimasa l'smicha shayar mitzvah ma'ala lava kasav ki ilo lo kiper v'kiper. If you treat smicha like shayare ha-mitzvah, meaning, you know, smicha, it's not that important, right? So the Torah treats you as if you didn't get a kapara, meaning technically, legally, you're good, you're done. Yeah. You fulfilled your obligation. But you lose an element, you lose an aspect of it. Tanya Gabi Tanufa Kiyagavna. And the Gemara points out, and right, we've seen this before. Tanufa, same story by Tanufa. Meaning there's this process called Tanufa. By certain karbanas, you wave the pieces of the karban. And by certain karbanas, you actually wave the animal before you actually kill it. So Tanufa lechaper, v'chi Tanufa mechaper, v'alo ein kapara l'abedam, shenemar ki adam u benefesh shechaper, l'olam l'cha, shimasa Tanufa shayar mitzvah, ma'ala l'ava kasav kilo, kiper v'kiper. Same story by Tanufa, it's not a ma'akev. And meanwhile, if you mistreat the mitzvah of Tanufa, so it's as if you didn't receive a kapara. Exactly what that means? You know, that's...
Not
that's,
the best kapara.
Right, in other words, you're right. You need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bookkeeper, and you know I'm not his bookkeeper. So, but it means you get points deducted. Al HaRosh. Tanu Rabbanan Yado Al HaRosh V'lo Yado Al HaTzavar. You put your hands on the head, you can't put it on the neck. But Tosfos says that what we mean by this is not on the throat. Meaning, when we say head of the animal, right, the animal is a horizontal plane.
Right?
It's not like us. We're vertical people, right? So, you understand, when we say head, we mean top of the head. When we say animal, when we say head, we mean top side, right? Not bottom side. Not the throat side of the animal. Yado l'rosh v'lo yado al hagabayim. I'm not on the back. So it's got to be more towards the top of the animal. Yado l'rosh v'lo yado al hachazeh, right, not on the chest of the animal. Look, the first miut, again, it's the same story over here, because the Torah repeats rosh, 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 and each time we're learning a new chiddush from what the Torah is trying to tell us in terms of location. So the first time it says rosh, meaning rosh, and not the throat. But the back, meaning I'm at the head, all I need to do is just run down a little bit and I'll get to the back. Aim alo, tzricha. V'yash minan ha'netre mishum delo yisrabi l'tenufa. Avachazi yisrabi l'tenufa. But by the chest of the animal, look, I'm going to be doing the mitzvah of tenufa. And just a gemara ago, the gemara was basically saying tenufa and smicha are the same regarding shayari ha-mitzvah. I might have thought that you could do smicha on the chazeh, on the chest of the animal. Aim alo, tzricha. Ibai lehu yado al tzda demahu. So look, right, the classic question of the Gemara. Back of the neck I know is good. Front of the neck I know is not good. Okay, what about, I got two sides of the neck.
But I think the whole point is to lean. So how could you lean if you put under the neck?
Yeah. So Tashma Ditanya Abibira Birabilaz Ben Yaakov Ami Yadol Roshovalo Yadol Atzadim. So the Gemara gives a very clear cut answer over here. No good. Sides are no good. And perhaps your svara is the reason that motivates. By Rabbi Yirmiyah Matlis Moshe Tachotz. How about this? Right? I could so see this person. I'm not this person, but I could so see this person. Mitzvah smich, I'm going to touch the animal. Here, take a tissue. Okay, and I'll put my hand on the tissue on the animal. Can we do it that way? So the Gemara is going to say no. So the Malas Masha Tachutz Tashma Vavashalite Davachutz is Benol Levena Zevach. Okay, no Chatzitza.
No
Chatzitza. You got to get your hands dirty. You got to put your hand on the animal. Okay. Now the word yado is singular, but then the Torah says shtei. Okay. So that's two. Two hand. Right? It doesn't, if I try to translate into English, it doesn't work. You put your two hand on the animal.
You can say two handedly.
Two hand. Right.
Two hand shot.
Okay. Two hand shot. Right. Which is how they used to do it back in the good old days in the NBA.
Oh, yes.
B'samach Aaron ishtei yado. K'siv yado, k'siv shtei. Zebanav. And so we have the same exact idea by Edim, where even though the Torah uses Lashon Yachid, but now here it sets the precedent. Yado is two. Kol makum shenemer yado, rei kan shtein ad shipar l'chakas of achas. Good. Okay, so that's going to be the rule. Azal Rabbi Elazar Amar lo hashmaita bebe mejosh v'lo amar mishmei dereish lakish. So, Rabbi Elazar heard this, and whoa, what a good drasha, what a good pshat. He goes into the base mejosh, and he repeats, but doesn't credit his source. Right? The halacha comes from Reish Lakish. Rabbi Elazar goes into the base mejosh, says it, but doesn't say it in the name of Reish Lakish. Shama Reish Lakish v'ikpid. Now Reish Lakish was very upset. Now, right. Let's understand this without a simplistic understanding of ego over here. Right? What's the issue over here? So, could be the issue is that Kol Amro B'Shem Amro maybe it's a geula that if you give proper credit to the Baal Memra, to the person you heard it from, so it speeds up the geula. How to understand that? I'm not 100% sure, but it could be that that's the house part of the Reish Lakish. So Amalei Isa Kedakol Kol Hechadich Siv Yadav Tartin Enu Lamel Lemechtav Yadav. So Yadav. So let me ask you a simple question. Reish Lakish says. Now remember, it's the same Reish Lakish who gave us a halacha. So he wasn't. He was just. He was being a little bit difficult over here. Simply just to show him, you think you understand the halacha, you really don't understand the halacha. Let me demonstrate that you don't understand the halacha, right? Why does the Torah ever use the word yadav, right? Which means hands. It doesn't need to.
We know it's
right. You just said in the base medrash.
Right.
Every time it says the word yadav, it means two. So why does the Torah ever have to say the word yadav?
Mm-hmm.
So actually, Esrim v'dalad yadav. Okay, now if we had a concordancia right now, we would right. I didn't do my homework. I didn't look it up. 24 times in Chumash where it says the word Yadav. Yadav Tivienu, Yadav Ravlo, Sikel Es Yadav. Right? That one we know. That's Yaakov and his two grandchildren. Right? So I switched his hands. So Ishtik. So Rabbi Elazar didn't know how to answer that question. In other words, you're right. You're right. So Labasa Danach Daite. So Reish Lakish finally took some time to breathe and
cool down
a little bit. Amalei, my time alo temali. Yadav desmicha kamrei. Oh, in other words, look, I did find for you many times in Chumash where it says the words yadav, but not by smicha. By smicha, it never says the words yadav. Besmicha namiksi v'yismoches yadav alav vayitzaveu. Not true. It does say it. When Moshe goes to the next leader of the Jewish people, to Yoshua, and he puts his two hands on Yoshua. So the Gemara says, fair, but when we talk about smicha to an animal, it never says the words yadav, it only says yado, and now you can use my drasha, Reish Lakish says, and next time make sure to quote me. But now you could use my drasha, which is... That yado is always going to be two based on the binyan of. Okay, two more lines of Gemara. We finished for today. Uvamakum shesomchem shochtan tekem v'smecha shchita. The place over here doesn't mean on the animal. Place means where you're going to do it. The place where you're going to do smicha is where you're going to do shchita. And immediately after smicha, you do shchita. Maika amar. So now the Gemara explains. The Mishnah here is not making 2 points. The Mishnah is making 1 point. Look, there can be no lapse between smicha and shchita. So therefore, where am I going to do smicha? In the Azara. It's got to be in the Azara. Right. Because immediately after smicha, I have to do shchita. Okay. So it's not 2 points of the Mishnah, it's 1 point of the Mishnah.
Shchita could be done outside. As long as the animal has to be inside, but he could be inside. Very good.
Right?
Well, he's talking about the animal, he's not talking about the...
No, but the person could be standing outside.
I know, but this is talking about the person.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
had
a window one time. Actually,
you can be
outside.
Doesn't.
Okay. All right. Fair. All right. Stop over here. Tomorrow, pick it up from the Mishnah. And give me Yirtzeh Hashem tomorrow, Shabbos. Oh wow. Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow Shabbos, Yirtzeh Hashem will finish the perek. We'll start the 11th perek. Okay. Lechem upon him coming up.
For the 11th. Okay.